How do you do? If heaven prepares good men with crosses, then the man in the following story was well prepared, because he had more than his share of difficulties. Born into an Orthodox Jewish family, he was the youngest child and the only son with five older sisters who pampered him because of an affliction. He also had a love of music that he played for himself, then for others, and then for the one who set him free when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the good news in eight languages throughout the world, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Being without a home is a traumatic experience, and that can happen to anyone for any number of reasons. That's why Pacific Garden Mission has been a haven in Chicago since 1877, when George and Sarah Clark first opened a little storefront mission in the heart of Skid Row. Since then, the doors have never closed, as generous friends have provided finances to help keep the light burning in the old lighthouse. And thanks to that support, the mission provides food, fresh clothing, and a clean, safe bunk to hundreds of people of all ages each night, along with medical and dental care if needed. And everything is free, especially God's love and provision given through pastors and counselors who share the good news of His plan for their lives. His plan leads to new life, and that's what this program celebrates. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2899 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
What's wrong, Tilly?
I took Neil to the doctor today, and...
Tell me.
He's blind, Maury. Blind!
How can that be? He's crawling around like the girls did, and his eyes are clear and bright.
He's not totally blind yet. The doctor says he can see light and dark and some colors, but in time he'll lose even that.
Surely there's something they can do.
Oh, no, he has congenital glaucoma. Oh, it will only get worse.
He was 6 months old in 1938 when his family discovered his blindness, something that didn't slow him down in life. He learned to grapple with the world around him, even himself, and even with others. Yet the man in our story had greater adversities than physical blindness, as he'll relate in his first of a two-part story, the true story of Neil Schlang, right now on Unshackled.
My father worked as a parts man and as a Jewish baker while mother stayed home to care for my sisters, who were all much older than I. My oldest sister was 18 when I was born. Our family was large but poor, yet we moved from Cleveland to Columbus when I was 5 so I could enter the Ohio State School for the Blind, the first of many sacrifices my family made for me.
It doesn't seem the same without our little boy.
He'll be home weekends, and that will come soon enough.
Oh, I miss him, though.
I'll pick him up on Friday so he can go to synagogue with us.
It seems like a good school, don't you think, Maury? The teachers seem to care.
As long as they teach him to get along on his own, to read and write and be productive.
Well, he is learning Braille. That's the first step.
We can keep an eye on him and the school. It's only a 20-minute walk from here.
Unless there was deep snow on the ground, Dad always came for me on Friday night and then took me back to school on Sunday afternoon, where I stayed in the dorm. I always had a love of music. When I was 6 or so, I listened to country music day and night on the radio. One day as I walked to the dorm, I heard piano playing unlike anything I'd ever heard before. I followed the sound to its source. What are you playing?
I'm beating the boogies. Who's that?
Neil Schlang. Who are you?
Henry, brother. How you doing?
Do you think I could play the boogie-woogie?
If you got rhythm in your soul, you can play. If you can feel it, you can play it.
I love that music, and I want to learn to play it.
Here, I'll show you the bass part first. You don't mind sitting here beside me, do you?
Well, not if you don't mind sitting beside me.
Shoot, no. I always say God loves everybody, don't matter what color you are.
Or if you're Jew or Gentile.
That's right.
Not everybody here is like that. Some of them call me names.
Don't you pay them no attention, Neil. They're just bigots. Now pay attention.
I had few friends there, so music was my outlet. My sister B was a nurse, and she sometimes took me to the record shop on Saturday where I could listen to the music I loved. At chapel, one of the kids sang, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And I would sit and tremble, feeling guilty, though I didn't understand the meaning of the song. I was called many names at the blind school, and because I was overweight, they called me names about being fat, too, which hurt me, so I talked to my parents.
They called you what?
Dirty Jew. Fat slob.
You are overweight, son, but...
But they still shouldn't call me names.
We better talk with the principal.
Won't do any good. People hide their bigotry.
If they can hate Jews, I can hate Gentiles.
No, son, that doesn't help. Always aim for a higher purpose.
Dad, I want to learn more about being a good Jew. Maybe even learn Hebrew.
Do you think you can?
Well, they probably have a Braille Bible in Hebrew.
All right, son. I'll talk with the rabbi. He doesn't think Neil can learn Hebrew.
Well, of course he can. Well, just because someone is blind doesn't mean they're stupid.
I told him our son is doing well in school, but he doesn't think he can communicate with Neil.
Well, that's crazy. What did you say?
I can't repeat what I said, but I told him what I thought of him.
What do we do now?
I don't know. I'm too angry to think.
What about the Reform Temple? Maybe that rabbi can help.
I don't know if I want to send him there.
But maybe they're willing to help our boy.
Okay. I'll talk with the rabbi there. Perhaps they're more sensitive.
That rabbi welcomed me, and I started going to Hebrew school on Tuesdays and Thursdays, making the trip by taxi, another financial sacrifice by my parents.
So, how are you doing in Hebrew school, Neil?
Great, Mom. My teacher treats me just like the guys who can see.
Good!
She says I see things that other people don't see.
Well, I guess there's some truth to that.
I think blind kids could go to public school, but most of the kids at the blind school don't agree.
Why not?
Well, they think kids at public schools would make fun of us and take advantage of us.
Oh, no, not all of them. They would learn to accept you if you were there all the time.
Besides, we can learn as well as anyone else.
You're right to believe in yourself, Neil. You can do just about anything if you put your mind to it. And someday things will change.
My Hebrew teacher thinks I can be bar mitzvahed, Mother. She's going to talk with the rabbi.
Really? Maury, did you hear that? Neil's Hebrew teacher thinks he can be bar mitzvahed.
That's wonderful, son.
Because I was still struggling with Braille Hebrew, I memorized the portion of scripture I had to read for my bar mitzvah when I was 13. From that day on, I wanted to be a rabbi, even though I didn't know God. Religious but empty in soul and bitter about being blind, I studied with as many as 3 Hebrew teachers at one time, Reformed and Orthodox. I was in high school when one of them said something in class that left me confused.
Well, since all truth is God's truth, then the scriptures are no more inspired than the writings of Plato or any of the other great philosophers. After all, books, they're written by men, even our Bible. And if man is to learn and develop, then the writings of, say, Emerson are just as important as the Bible.
I was stunned. Why would they teach from a holy book every Sabbath and then turn around and say that the holy book was no more inspired than any other book? I couldn't tell my parents about this conflict, so I told no one, and my confusion turned to contempt for religion. Concurrently, I fell in love with modern jazz. Religion wasn't meeting my heart's needs, so I focused on music. I'd taken piano lessons from the age of 9. At 17, I was playing in nightclubs around Columbus.
Break time, Neil.
Whew, I could use a soda.
Nothing stronger?
No, I like to keep my wits about me.
You do very well, man.
For a blind man.
Hey, can you see at all?
Oh, I can distinguish light and dark, but not as well as when I was younger.
Well, you play a mean piano.
And you play a meaner trumpet, Barry.
Hey, you'll have to join us for the jazz forums at Ohio State sometime. Jazz is popular there.
Well, sure.
When we get big crowds, especially after a civil rights speaker on campus.
Well, I believe in civil rights. Equality for blacks and all minorities.
Yeah, Jews have suffered a lot, too.
Oh, you can say that again. If there's a God, he isn't very even-handed.
Now, don't be bitter, Neil.
Why not? I used to think religion would solve our problems, but religious people are no different than anyone else. Only politics can change things.
Oh, I'm glad you made it home okay, son.
You don't have to wait up for me, Mom. I'm not a kid anymore.
Well, anything could happen, Neil. I'd just like to make sure you're okay.
Thanks, but I'm a big boy now.
Can I get you anything? Some juice?
No, I had some at the club. I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Do you have Hebrew class in the morning?
Oh, I'm not going anymore.
Why not?
Do I have to explain everything? I have other interests now.
Well, I hope you don't let playing at those clubs influence you in a bad way, Neil.
Don't worry about me, okay? I'll be graduating next year, and I can take care of myself. Strong words from a weak position. Sometimes just for the exposure and to keep my piano playing up, I played gigs that paid only $5 or $10. I kept it a secret because I was working for less than union scale. Although I still went to temple with Jewish friends, or even the church now and then with religious friends, I considered myself an atheist, never telling my family, only others. The swinging life was where it was at, I thought, and yet I hungered for a God who loved me.
Neil would hear more about that, and we will too, in just a moment. What an encouragement your cards, letters, and emails are to each of us at Pacific Garden Mission, and we'd like to share excerpts with you. This man writes, "I thank God for Unshackled on the radio that I listen to every night. It helps me get spiritually strong." And this woman writes, "Unshackled stories are uplifting and helping me and my friends learn to reach the needy and homeless. We started a food pantry at church. Don't stop spreading the good news." This man writes, "I started listening to Unshackled 7 years ago in a halfway house in Nebraska. They led me back to the Lord. I met my future wife, and we are back in church and able to buy a new home. We give all the credit to God our Savior." And this man writes, "Because of your wonderful program, I went forward at church and asked the Lord to come into my life. If I had only realized what I'd been missing. Won't you write soon? The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address."
After I graduated from the Ohio State School for the Blind, I went on the road to Michigan for a while and played with a band. I was drawn to the blues at this point in my life. Then I decided to attend a university in Columbus that was church-affiliated but had a good music conservatory. My piano instructor was head of the piano department there, and I wanted to keep studying with him. I was still a very bitter young man, but I continued to play in clubs around the city.
Boy, Schlang, you really can't hold your liquor.
What are you talking about? I don't drink. I don't.
Yeah, I know, man. You just tossed down fruit juice, right?
You said it. I love fruit juices. Orange, black cherry, and raspberry.
Tell me about it. I saw you drink one after another last night, and every glass had some vodka in it.
What are you talking about?
We spiked your fruit juice with vodka all night long.
You're lying.
I'm telling you the truth, man. But you didn't act one bit drunk. Now, did he?
No, I didn't.
Yes, sirree, you can really hold your liquor.
You know, that's despicable. Don't you ever do that again. I don't want to drink that stuff. I don't want to mess up my mind, you hear? My language was extremely foul then, and I cussed them out for playing such a dirty trick on me. Their prank was more fodder for my bitterness. Another source of pain was my inability to find a girlfriend, someone to love who would also love me. One girl I wanted to date said, "You're blind, you're fat, and you're a Jew. Three strikes and you're out." But I did make friends with a voice major named Terry.
Well done, Neil. I like having you play when I sing.
Yeah, my pleasure, Terry.
You know, this school has such a fine music conservatory.
Oh, it does indeed. But my interest is jazz, and that's about as popular here as a pig in a kosher kitchen.
Do the faculty give you a hard time?
My piano teacher hates jazz, but I say tough. I'm already earning money in clubs around town.
And we can all use extra cash. Hey, do you like playing in the clubs?
It's okay. Some guy spiked my juice drink with vodka one night, and I was really ticked off. I never drink booze or smoke dope.
Me neither, but lots of musicians do.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, one night I was working in Dayton, and the whole group went to a house afterward where the guy grew marijuana.
You're kidding.
No, they wanted me to try it, but I refused. Then they talked about forcing me to try it.
You can't force someone to inhale.
Yeah, you'd be amazed what people think about the blind. Well, I told them I may be blind, but I can mess up a house pretty good if anyone tried something like that.
Yeah, good for you, Neil.
Yeah, this world is so messed up. The only good thing is music.
Well, you need some kind of faith as an anchor for your soul, buddy. You know, peace with God.
I'm an atheist, Terry. I gave up on religion.
How can you be an atheist? You're a Jew. Jews were given the word of God and preserved it with their lives. The whole world was given the truth because God entrusted the scriptures to his people, the Jews.
Oh, who knows? Maybe there is a God.
There is. You just don't know him.
Yeah. I suppose there is a God, or people wouldn't argue against him all the time.
Hey, would you like to go to church with me sometime? I'm the choir leader, and I think you'd enjoy the music.
Sure, I've been to church before.
And Pastor Tom really loves the Lord.
Let me tell you, my friends, the original sin of Adam and Eve separated us from God. Mm. And unbelief and irreverence toward him and his word keep us separated.
That's right, that's right.
And that's why sin comes naturally to every person. Speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, God said in chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Mm-hmm. And the book of Romans repeats that truth, saying, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Amen. And that's why Jesus came and suffered and died to buy our pardon, because God says the penalty for sin is death, eternal separation from him. My friend, if you live a life of sin, wrapped up in alcohol, immorality, bitterness, hatred, and profanity, and you don't follow Christ, you'll go to hell. Repent of your sins today.
I thought he was crazy, talking about sin and salvation. I went with another friend, and we sat together and made fun of God and the whole idea of organized religion. But I also went to gain favor with Terry, hoping he could find me a girlfriend. And he tried. For a while, I dated a girl who was also a voice major at the university. She talked to me about Christ, but my love for her was not meant to be.
Uh-oh. You're not pining away for someone, are you, Neil?
Worse than that.
What's going on?
You know that girl I've been dating? The voice major?
Suzanne?
Yeah. She dumped me. Called a few days ago to say God spoke to her during a sermon, and now she's going to spend her life serving God.
Well, I could understand that.
Maybe. But she didn't have to be cruel. A letter came yesterday, and she apologized for leading me on. Said she was never really interested in me.
Well, now, that was cruel.
And she tore my heart out. Life is unfair.
Yes, it is, Neil. Hey, look, why don't you join my choir? You might meet a girl there.
You think?
Well, there are more girls than guys in the choir.
They won't be interested in a blind man, but I might as well try.
Who knows? You might even find God.
This elusive God seemed to be most revealed in music. I often listen to Mahalia Jackson sing songs like "His Eye is on the Sparrow," songs that made me want to know the Jesus that she sang about. So I joined the choir. And one night they performed at a revival. I had no idea what a revival was, but I sang a duet with a girl, a song called Steal Away to Jesus. The sermon that night was about the church mission to India, and the speaker was dynamic.
In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Good works can't save you, my friend. We are saved by grace alone. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them."
Amen.
Oh no, good works don't save you, but good works follow you, come out of you if you're saved. A life consecrated to God is a life filled with his Holy Spirit and his purposes. The unsaved person is self-centered and self-seeking. It's all about me, they say. But we know that it's really all about Jesus. As John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." What about you? What are you doing with your life?
That sermon convicted me because I was doing nothing with my life. I was playing music for myself, serving myself, and living for myself. Yet once again, I ignored his words and the conviction in my heart. The lure of music was too great. I didn't recognize the snare that was drawing me into the abyss of hell. When I was a senior in college, I was part of a jazz trio playing in coffee houses at Ohio State and getting home very late.
So, how was your evening, son?
Oh, hi, Mom. Fine. I thought I asked you not to wait up for me.
When you get older, you don't need as much sleep. So I was reading. You smell like smoke.
Yeah, everybody smokes in the clubs and coffee shops.
Oh, I hope you never smoke, son.
I won't. Or drink or use drugs. Other guys do, but not me.
Good. Don't let those other musicians get you into drugs. Do what's right, and you won't be sorry.
I just would like to find someone to love, that's all.
Don't be impatient.
I get lonely, Mom.
All I'm saying is save yourself for marriage. Moral purity is important, Neil. God favors those who practice obedience to his laws.
You think so?
I'm positive. Fornication, adultery, these things make a man impure, and they come between him and God. It also harms every aspect of your life thereafter.
Well, then most people are not very close to God, or else hypocrisy is rampant.
Oh, Neil, it's always been that way.
Tonight at the coffee house, a guy read the works of a poet. Whew, strong stuff.
Well, be careful what you read in here, Neil. Our people have too many times followed the wrong things.
I don't know. Times are a-changing, Mom.
Times may change, but God doesn't. Be a real mensch and stick with God.
I'd treated my mother badly for several years, but we became close again. I didn't tell her or anyone in my family that I was going to church services. Besides Terry, I sometimes went to church with an African-American friend who is also a musician and a real friend. He invited me to the church that his father pastored, and afterward, they invited me home for lunch.
So what did you think of the worship service, Neil?
It sure is different from a Jewish service.
How so?
The rabbi gives these homiletical sermons, and people just sit quietly and listen.
Nobody says amen or hallelujah?
No, it's so quiet and somber. But I love the singing at your church.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I loved it, man. Those people sang with conviction, and your dad preached with conviction.
He's a true believer.
Was he a believer when he and your mother met?
No. In fact, he tried to convert her to a worldly lifestyle, but Mama just wouldn't do it. She got right to him and said, "If you're going to be my boyfriend, you're going to have to serve the God I serve."
Man, that's sweet.
That's Mama. She's like a brick about her faith.
I admire that. I really do. I wish I had that kind of faith. Oh, I had faith, all right, in music. Our trio gave the first jazz concert and convocation at our university. I'm sure that some people hated that concert, but I didn't care. I just wanted to play jazz. I graduated and continued staying at home while I earned a living playing jazz in nightclubs. Then in 1962, tragedy struck.
Hello?
Terry, it's Neil Schlang.
Neil, how are you?
Terrible. My mother died.
Oh, Neil. I'm so sorry. I knew she meant a lot to you.
Oh, more than you know. More than I ever realized.
Was this unexpected?
No. She had congestive heart failure and then lung cancer, so I knew it would happen. But what about your mother? Oh, it's horrible. Horrible.
I'm so sorry, Neil.
She did everything for me, Terry. I don't know how I can live without her.
If there's anything I can do, let me know.
There's just a big hole in my life now. A very big hole.
Without Mother, I didn't want to live at home. I didn't get along with Dad or my older sister who still lived at home. I was very mean to her. So I decided to make a new start. I took a job in Portsmouth working with a trumpet player. But after a few months, I got sick. Very sick. And couldn't get well, so I went back home. My life was about to take a very different turn.
Next week, we'll hear the conclusion of Neil's testimony. Until then, listening friend, we hope you've heard enough to realize that God loves you and has a plan for your life that is good. And that plan begins with receiving Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." All you have to do is ask him to save you. Ask him to come into your heart and life. If you need counsel in making this life-changing decision, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago area, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and visit our website at unshackled.org. It is for you, our listener, that we produce these wonderful testimonies, so we'd love to know that these stories make a difference in your life as they do in ours. Please write and tell the manager of this station that you appreciate Unshackled. This is program number 2899, heard in the true story of Neil Schlang, Part 1, where Tom Geitsch, Lisa Keefe, Darren Stevens, Michael Martin, David Stewart, and Rick Dianofsky. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Patrick Wood. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter does mean a great deal to us. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Remember, day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.